about now? Phil's not asleep at the soundboard. I asked him to help me introduce my topic. I want to talk to you about listening today. And all of you are probably so tired of that commercial series, "Can You Hear Me Now?" I'm not even going to mention the name of the cell phone company because I'd probably get it wrong. Can you hear me now? We say it in our sleep. In fact, I owe Steve Cook an apology because the reason the mic wasn't on when he started to read was I distracted Phil. And that was my fault. Listening. It's an art. And many of us are not very good at it. In fact, there are a number of listening habits that we routinely engage in that are very poor habits. There is the occasional listener. That's the person who's looking you straight in the face and appears to be hanging on every word, and they are a million miles away. If you could see the backs of their eyeballs, it would be completely blank, because they're thinking about something way off in the distance. They only look like they're paying attention to you. Ever do that? There'll be some bumping of mates here, I'm sure. There is the proactive listener. We're already behind on our chart. This is the listener who only hears the first part of your sentence and already knows what you're going to say in the rest of the sentence and finishes it for you because they want to save time. Anybody here like that? Probably had finished that sentence for me already. There's the distracted listener. This is one of my problems. Somebody's talking to you and I'm listening, but you're doing something else. And the fact of the matter is, about half the time, when they ask a question, you have to ask what they were saying because you don't know how to answer the question. You really weren't concentrating on what they were saying. You were concentrating on something else. Multitasking, that's what we call that. It's not good listening. There's the selfish listener. That's the listener who, while you're talking, is thinking about what he wants to say next. So he doesn't hear what you're saying because what he's going to say next is much more important than what you are saying right now. Anybody here like that? What? What did he say? But there are some good listeners. There is the glued listener. That's the person who really is giving you all of their attention. They are hanging on your every word. Talk to any preacher, and he will tell you that we bring these same listening habits to worship. For instance, there is the distracted listener in worship. When I first started preaching, I preached in a little country congregation. There was a fella, an older member, one of the more respected members of the congregation, and he used to sit right about where my father-in-law is now, John, and clip his fingernails during my sermons. And I'll be real honest with you, he used to irritate me. He wouldn't look at me. He was always looking down here. But he informed me rather directly one time that he heard every word I said. He was a distracting listener, if not a distracted listener. And then there's the head nodders. I don't mean the ones that are going. I mean the good listeners. Aaron Smith is one of them. And there are a couple others. Colleen sometimes does this. You're making a point, and they're going, Yeah. And preachers pick those people out. And that's why sermons are long. Because those people are encouraging us by going, I'll be honest with you, we don't have the other kind of head nodders. Thanks to God. We don't have the sleepers. We don't have the disinterested people. We have good listeners, I think, in the main, in this congregation. There's always occasions when, because of health reasons or schedule reasons, things outside of our control, we're not always as alert as we'd like to be. But the fact of the matter is, I think, by and large, we're good listeners here. At least, as near as I can tell, you may be one of those occasional listeners, and you're a million miles away, and I can't tell because you're still looking at me. But the fact of the matter is, we do bring a lot of our poor listening habits sometimes to worship. The Bible itself describes various kinds of listeners. That's implied in the statement that Jesus makes in Matthew 13 when he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, that's an odd statement. Most of us have ears. But Jesus was not talking about whether or not you have the proper auditory equipment. He was talking about whether you have the will to listen, whether you are actually heeding what is being said. You can have ears, but they may not be ears to hear. They may just simply be appendages that are stuck on the side of your head and keep your glasses on or your hair behind. Jesus' statement suggests that there are some who do not have ears to hear. They're just not listening. And it's interesting that Jesus' comment here in Matthew 13 comes at the end, contextually speaking, the parable of the soils, in which the main point of the parable is to talk about people's receptivity, their willingness to receive the Word of God. I don't think it's any accident that Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He knew, as the parable suggests, that there are some who will not listen or do not listen well. Most of us never took Listening 101 in college. My wife is absolutely confident I didn't take that class. But maybe we should have. Maybe we need to train ourselves to be good listeners, because how we listen to God's Word is extremely important. May make the difference, in fact I will say will make the difference, between whether we're a successful Christian and we're welcomed home. Or in the language of Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What kind of listener are you? Are you a good listener? Can you hear me now? I want to talk to you about some different kinds of listeners that the Bible talks about. I'm going to, in the interest of the head nodders, only talk about three. But really what I'm after is that we are encouraged to be the right kind of listeners. And you may already be, in which case, blessed are you. But maybe we can do better. And if that's the case, I hope that you're encouraged to do that this very morning. Well, which kind of listener are you in terms of the Bible's description of listeners? Jesus was talking in Matthew 13 about some closed-minded listeners. In fact, he quotes from Isaiah in Matthew 13, verses 13 through 15. He quotes from Isaiah 6. Jesus said, "Therefore I speak to them in parables," in verse 13, "because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them.'" Jesus says there are people who were listening to him at that moment who are like the people that Isaiah spoke to. People who were closed-minded. When we use the word dull, we often use the word in the sense of not real bright. Not real intelligent. But I like the New International Version's translation of this same passage. In verse 15, the verse that uses that word in the New King James Version, the text reads in the New International Version, "For this people's heart has become calloused." They hardly hear with their ears. The calloused heart is the heart that is not sensitive, not very receptive. A callus on your hand protects you from pain. You can't feel as easily where you have a callus as you can in the more tender parts of your body. And Jesus says these people's heart has become calloused. It's not that they're dumb. They're not dull in the sense of having no intellect. They have become unreceptive. They can hardly hear anymore. Why? Because they have closed their eyes. They've shut their ears. They don't want to hear. They're the closed-minded listener. This is the listener who doesn't like what he hears. So he closes his ears and his mind also. Now don't be mistaken. He may very well be in the assembly of the saints. And he may be gazing up at the pulpit, and you might not ever dream that he is calloused. He's not really hearing what's being said. Preacher talks about things that necessitate changes in his life. He doesn't like that. And so he just quits listening. In Acts the 7th chapter, in verse 57, at the conclusion of Stephen's sermon, at least as far as the council allowed him to proceed, Stephen convicted his hearers of resisting the Holy Spirit. In verse 51, he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." Acts 7, verse 51. And in verse 54, we're told that when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. And he sees the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. Verse 57 says, "Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord." At that point, preaching was futile. They weren't listening anymore. Oh, their ears still worked. They'd stopped them. Just like Jesus talked about people who could hardly hear anymore. These people couldn't hear. And there's no point in talking to them. They're not listening. They're the closed-minded listeners. Take a test with me. What is your first reaction when the preacher, whether it's me or Joshua, who incidentally is back here with his new bride, and we're glad to have them with us, maybe when he's preaching or one of the other members is preaching or teaching a class, and they say something that necessitates a change in your life, what do you do? What's your first reaction? Do you dismiss it? You kind of figure, well, that probably doesn't apply to me, or he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'll have to think more about that. You tune out the speaker. How do you approach the study of God's Word? Are your ears wide open with the intent of accepting whatever's said, if it applies to me, if it means I've got to make changes, I'm going to make changes, but I'm listening. And I'm going to accept what's said. It's from God's Word. That's the closed-minded listener. But the Bible talks about another listener in the book of Hebrews. It talks about the lazy listener. That wasn't the first listener in Matthew 13, dull in the sense of lazy. But in Hebrews chapter 5, I believe that's exactly what we're talking about. In fact, if you'll allow me to set the context, the author of Hebrews is endeavoring to begin talking about the priesthood of Jesus Christ, the priesthood that is different from the Levitical or Aaronic priesthood of the Old Testament. And he wants to explain how Jesus is priest like Melchizedek was priest. Priest after the order of Melchizedek, as he'll introduce him in the latter part of chapter 6, following this admonition of chapter 5. And he says in verse 11 of chapter 5 of Hebrews, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain." Why? "Since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food." We are talking here not about the person who doesn't have the capacity to understand. We're talking about the one who has not developed perceptiveness, who in fact has lost what they may have had at one time. That seems to be the point in verse 11 when he says, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." They weren't always that way, I think is the implication, but they certainly had become that way. The word that is translated dull here is a word that means sluggish, lazy. And in fact, it is the same word that is translated sluggish, Hebrews the 6th chapter and verse 12, near the end of this exhortation, where the writer says, "Listen, don't you be lazy." That's the translation of some versions. or slow to learn is the translation in Hebrews 5 and verse 11 in other translations. The New International Version, I believe, translates it that way. They were not sluggish by nature, they'd become this way. It takes persistent effort to grow spiritually, both in knowledge, in terms of what you understand, and also in your ability to perceive truth. It's like building a house. You can't lay the second layer of blocks until you've got the first layer. And the problem with the Hebrews is someone kept taking away the first layer. They never could get to the higher truths, to the greater, deeper things of the gospel. They couldn't get to the meat because they had to keep going back and getting the milk. Somebody had to keep laying that first layer of blocks, first line of blocks. But it takes effort, it takes persistence, it takes concentration for us to grasp things and to focus on things so that we begin to make more connections and our understanding becomes broader and broader and more fruitful and more powerful in terms of motivating us to do what is right. And the Hebrews weren't doing that. They were lazy listeners. Sometimes the preacher is to blame for that, because he wants people to listen to him and they won't listen when he talks about anything other than the most basic of subjects. And so he just feeds them the same diet of baby food. And what you've got is a bunch of immature Christians who've been Christians, chronologically speaking, a long time. You ever watch Caleb Etheridge put away the baby food? You can't shovel it fast enough. That kid's a bottomless pit. Ralph and Beth are going to have to take out several loans before it's all over in order to feed that boy. And I'll tell you what, if he's still on baby food when he's 10 years old, we got a problem. You got to graduate to the solid food. And that takes persistent effort. It's not for the lazy. It means you've got to work to understand. Well, the last listener that I would like to talk to you about this morning is the careful listener, the analytical listener. Now, that sounds a little intimidating, but it's really not. It's the careful listener, the one who's actually giving some thought to what's being said and checking it out. And the passage that I want you to think about, that you're already thinking about, is Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. Apostle Paul did not have a good experience at Thessalonica. In fact, they ran him out of town. But when he came to Berea, things were different there, at least initially. It says the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These Berean Jews were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. How so? In that they received the word that was being preached with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were in fact so. Why is it that we need to be analytical or careful listeners? Well, I think there are a couple of reasons. One is the principle of repetition. If I just keep saying it enough, long enough, you'll believe it if you're not careful, whether it's true or not. Thank you, television. Isn't that exactly what they do on television? They bombard you with the same commercial over and over and over again. Did you not get it the first time? Yes, but you didn't believe it as firmly as they want you to believe it. And so they'll just keep hitting you with the same message. And incidentally, the people who write the sitcoms and the various other programs, they're practicing the same thing. They know that if they keep saying the same things long enough, you will believe it whether it's true or not. And isn't that the case? The principle of repetition is only valid for listeners who are careless. Because the careful listener, even though he keeps hearing it, he's checked it out and determined whether it's really true or not. But then there's another tendency that we have that I think necessitates us being careful listeners, and that's just, quite frankly, the tendency to credulity. We just have a tendency sometimes to accept sources of information without analyzing whether what they're saying is true, or remembering that not everybody has a pure motive in presenting information. Well, I hate to say this. It sounds very pessimistic and negative. But frankly, there are some people who are liars. They're dishonest. They have an agenda. They want you to believe something. They don't care if it's true or not. It suits their purposes. And they're going to put that information out there. We just kind of swallow it. Because we're not checking the sources. We're not really verifying whether that's accurate or not. We need to be careful listeners. Not everyone sees what is true with clarity. And that includes people whose motives, I think, are pure. They're just biased and they don't perceive reality. They have kind of a colored glasses syndrome. The reason we need to be careful listeners is that we have a tendency to trust sources like preachers. Preachers are often viewed as authorities on the subject of God's Word. The truth is that God's Word is the authority. Preachers just teach, ideally speaking, what God has already authorized, what He's already revealed. But sometimes we forget that and we put the authority in the speaker as opposed to the message. And so we just accept what the speaker says without finding out whether what he's saying is what's really in here. And the religious world is full of people who are doing that very thing. That's why there's so many differences among religious people. That's one of the reasons. Now this is like shooting myself in the foot. You ought to be checking everything that I preach to see whether it's really what God's Word says or not. Is He using that passage the way it's really intended to be used, or has He violated the context? Is He twisting that as Peter suggested that some people did with Paul's epistles in 2 Peter chapter 3? Or am I using it correctly? You need to know. Don't trust me. It's not that I don't like you. It's that I'm fallible. And I could be wrong. Not much, but it's possible. No, it's likely that at some point I'm going to be wrong. In fact, it's inevitable. And so you need to check what's said from any preacher. Preachers often don't get it right. You know what's fantastic about the Bereans? They were checking. Whatever was being preached, they were going back to their Bible, the Old Testament Scriptures, and they were searching the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying... Wait a second, Paul? Wasn't Paul an inspired apostle? If the Bereans were noble, described as noble, because they were going back to their Bibles and checking what an apostle was preaching, do you think you ought to be checking what I'm preaching? About the church? About the organization of the church? About the role of elders in the church? About the plan of salvation, about the mission of the church, about the worship of the church, about how you ought to live your life every day. Don't you think you ought to be checking that? Why, sure you should. And you agree with that. I know you do. But sometimes I think we just get careless or begin to trust the speaker because he smiles a lot. I think you are critical listeners. I want to encourage you in that. I've taught too many Bible classes here to think that you'll just swallow whatever's taught. There are a number of you who have corrected me in Bible classes. You've picked out things that I didn't get quite right. And that's great. That's fine. Don't come gunning for me. But the fact of the matter is, you need to be an independent thinker and you need to be a critical listener. You need to take what's said and compare it to what you can read and understand for yourself. That's not just wise, that's your responsibility. Because when you stand before God, it won't help to point over my direction. I may have my own problems. You'll stand before God for your own understanding, for your own practice of what the Scriptures really say. The closed-minded listener, don't be that way. The lazy listener, what we need to be is the careful listener. Focusing, analyzing, critical in the sense that we're comparing what's said all the time with what we know is truth. There isn't any other way to please God. I'm not preaching this lesson today. because I'm upset with the way the members of this congregation listen in general. In fact, I'm persuaded, as I've already said from the comments that are made to me after sermons, that you are listening and you're listening carefully. Sometimes you disagree with things that I say and you bring that to my attention. Sometimes you pick out things that I didn't even realize I'd said. Speakers sometimes do that. We sometimes don't communicate very well. But I think you are listening. And we have some of those head nodders who obviously are listening to what's being said. But I'll tell you what, we need to continue to be good listeners. Every time you open God's book, especially, you need to be the kind of listener who's checking. Not just willing listeners, but analytical listeners. The Word of God is so important, and our understanding of it is absolutely crucial for our eternal well-being. Not forgetting the fact that sometimes we preachers are poor communicators. To the extent that we accurately convey God's message, it is critical that those who are present are good listeners. Accept it. Not because I say it, but because you know it's the truth. You've looked at it in your own Bible. In Isaiah 59, the prophet Isaiah talked about Israel's consternation. They weren't being listened to. Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear." What's the problem? "Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." If we do like Israel was doing, and we're going to continue in our sins, God won't listen. We've got to listen to Him. And that's my encouragement to you this morning. Are you listening to what He has to say about your salvation? He will accept you just as you are. If in fact you are a believer in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, if you're the kind of person who has the heart that wants to turn from sin, you've repented of your sins. That's what's implied in that expression. You've turned from your sins. If you're willing to confess Jesus as the Christ, God will take you. It doesn't make any difference what sins you've committed. He'll wash you in the blood of Jesus Christ. You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You've got to submit to the Word of God in order to enjoy that kind of salvation. A lot of people stop before they get to the end. They don't seem to think that there's any legitimacy, no effectiveness in water baptism. What could that possibly have to do with our salvation? Are you listening? He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, I know there's nothing in the water that's special. Comes out of the faucet, same water we drink. What makes that act significant is that it's obedience to God. It is the expression of faith. Are you listening to what God has to say? This morning, if you need to obey the gospel, I hope you're a careful, analytical listener. As you look in your scriptures and you see what God has to say about salvation, the need for faith and obedience, maybe your heart is touched this morning so that you want to take care of that matter and obey the gospel, become a Christian, be forgiven of your sins. We are ready to assist you. We'd like to help you. Or maybe you're a Christian already, but you've been a poor listener. In fact, you've stopped listening to God altogether. And you need to begin afresh with your ears wide open. If we can assist you in being restored to the Lord, we invite you, we encourage you as we stand and sing. Won't you come to the front and we'll assist you.